next morning at 5:30, I spontaneously decided to take the Swami for a drive in the Krishna car to Griffith Park. On the way, we passed a golf course where a few stalwart early birds were playing. Trying to be observant and conversational, I said, "This is the king of frivolous sport." Frivolous sports was a term the Swami had used several times in lectures. He nodded and just kept chanting softly on his beads, observing things through the window. When we reached the park, I noticed that the gate to the zoo was wide open, so I drove through. "Let's walk through the zoo," I suggested. "We can park here. I don't see very many people around, but it looks like it's open already." We chanted softly as we walked among the cages. When we reached the eagle cage, the Swami stopped. Why your country has chosen this bird as its representative?" They probably thought the eagle was a sign of victory," I said eventually. "Yes, even the animals, they are in the modes of nature," the Swami said. "These kinds of birds are in the mode of ignorance. In India, I have seen many vultures." We walked around the bald eagle cage chanting. The eagle cocked its head as if he was listening to what we were saying. "Birds like vultures are in tamas, the mode of ignorance," the Swami said. "Swans and ducks are birds in the sattva, mode of goodness," he paused. "In India, we have the lion for national symbol, what is called symbol. Mascot, I didn't know if this was a proper term." "Yes, so animals are also affected by modes of material nature." "Cows are in a mode of goodness. In next life, cows generally are born as humans in sattva. Lions and tigers are in mode of passion, and monkeys are in mode of ignorance. They become in next life humans in passion and ignorance." We continued to chant through the park for another half an hour and then returned to the car to drive back to the temple. As we drove out through an open gate past a small sentry house, a frowning official in a blue uniform looked at our car. "The zoo is closed," he said to me crossly. I apologized and was grateful he didn't push the issue any further. I'll read a little bit. The next chapter is called "The In Transit to England, August 1968. The Haight Ashbury phenomenon came and went like a thunderstorm on a hot summer day. Shortly after the summer of love, the oracle folded and there were drug-related murders, street rioting, and subsequent police infiltration. It was as though the peace and love veneer of hippiedom had been stripped away to reveal an ugly, festering underbelly of drug dealing, addiction, and prostitution. The waves of spiritual seekers trickled out of the Haight to live on country communes or to submit to conventional lifestyles that they had so abhorred just a few short months earlier. Our temple continued to thrive, but the neighborhood began to resemble something suspiciously close to what it had been when I'd visited in 1962, an unexceptional part of a large California city populated by lots of Polish immigrants. Shamasundar continued to dream about going to London to meet the Beatles and start a center. The Swami responded enthusiastically to his idea and suggested that he and Malati go there as soon as she recovered from delivering the child they were expecting. "I am very much eager to open a center in London," he wrote. "As soon as it is possible, then I may also go there for some time to meet with the Beatles. Any sincere person, never mind whether he is hippie or Beatle, if he is actually searching for something beyond this hackneyed material sense gratification, surely he will find the most comfortable shelter under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna." I was heard about the devotees in London meeting the Beatles, and I had never heard this before, that Shyamasundara was like into it from San Francisco, and that Prabhupada even talked about it. And when I go to London, I'll meet the Beatles too. And I didn't know that. I just thought it was something that just sort of happened while they were over there. But they were planning on it.
I just remember that Krishna, he fulfills desires, even yeah. his devotees have some desires, because it looks like, wow, yeah.
That's a pretty big desire, you know.
For Krishna, naturally.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate. One should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God, Narayana, unto Narayana Rishi, the supremest human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of Yavana, and unto Sri Vyasadeva Devata. Nashtapaya Shabhadri Shunitam Bhagavati Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashlakil Bhakta Bharati Nashtati. By regular attendance to classes of the Bhagavata and by rendering of service to the pure devotee. All that is troublesome to the highest, almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhood, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as a miracle of Buddha. So today is verse 46. Yes? Vyankanta 4, chapter 29, talks between Narada and King Sachinabharha. Text 46. Yadaya syanu grihnati.
Bhagavanatma bhavitaha.
Sajahati matim loke.
Vedecha paranishtitam.
Yadaya syanu grihnati.
Bhagavanatma bhavitaha.
Sajahati matim loke.
Vedecha paranishtitam.
Yadaya syanu grihnati.
Bhagavan Atma Bhavita.
Sajahati Mahim Timloke.
Vedecha Paranishtitam. Yadaya Syanu Grihnati.
Bhagavan Atma Bhavita.
Sajahati Matim Loke.
Vedecha Paranishtitam. Word for word translation. Yada.
Yada.
When? Yasya.
Yasya.
Whom? Anugrihnati. Anugrihnati. Favors by causeless mercy. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Atma Bhavita.
Realized by a devotee. Sa.
Such a devotee.
Jahati.
Gives up.
Matim.
Consciousness.
Loke. In the material world. Vede. In the Vedic functions.
Cha.
Also. Parinishthitam. Fixed. Translation. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. Purport. In the previous verse, those who are in knowledge have been described as unable to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, This verse indicates that those who are followers of the Vedic rituals, as well as those who are followers of fruitive activities, are unable to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In these two verses, both the karmis and jnanis are described as unfit to understand Him. As described by Srila Rupa Goswami, only when one is completely free from mental speculation and fruitive activity, and yabilasata shunyam jnana karma jnavritam, can one engage in pure devotional service without being polluted by material desires. The significant word Atma Bhavita indicates that the Lord is awakened in one's mind, even constantly thinks of Him. A pure devotee is always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, Savaymanah Krishna Padravindayu. A pure devotee cannot remain a moment without being absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This constant thinking of the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita as Satata Yuktanam, always engaging in the Lord's service. Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. This is devotional service in love and affection. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead dictates to the pure devotee from within, the devotee is safe from all material activities. Even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are considered material activities, because by such activities one is simply elevated to other planetary systems, the residential abodes of the demigods. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti deva vrata deva, pitrin yanti pitri vrata, bhutani yanti bhutajya, yanti mat yagi no pi mam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors. And those who worship me will live with me. The word Atma Bhavita also indicates that a devotee is always engaged in preaching to deliver conditioned souls. It is said of the six Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipuna Sadharma Samstapaka Lokanam Hita Karina. A pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking of how fallen conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotees' attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by His causeless mercy. If a devotee is blessed by another devotee, he becomes free from karma kanda and jnana kanda activities. As confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Videsha Durlabham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be realized through karma kanda and jnana kanda. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto, the Lord is realized only by a sincere devotee. This material world, the cosmic manifestation, is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the living entities have come here to enjoy themselves. The Vedic instructions guide them according to different regulative principles, and intelligent people take advantage of these instructions. Vedas enjoy material life without being disturbed. This is actually illusion, and to get out of this illusion by one's own endeavor is very difficult. The general populace is engaged in material activities, and when people are a little advanced, they become attracted by the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. However, when one is frustrated in the performance of these ritualistic ceremonies, he again comes to material activities. In this way, both the followers of the Vedic rituals and the followers of material activities are entangled in conditioned life. These people get the seed of devotional service only by the good will of Guru and Krishna. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasada Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. When one is engaged in devotional service, he is no longer attracted to material activities. When a man is covered by different designations, he cannot engage in devotional service. One has to become free from such designative activities, sarvapadhi nirmuktam, and become pure in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead through purified senses. Hrishikena Hrishikesha 7 Bhakti Ruchatra. The service of the Lord through purified senses is called Bhakti Yoga, or devotional service. The sincerity god is always helped by the super soul, who resides within the heart of every living being, of every living entity, as Lord Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. The sam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadam budu yogam tam yanamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is the stage of becoming free from the contamination of the material world. At such a time, a devotee makes friends with another devotee, and his engagement in material activities ceases completely. At that time, he attains the favor of the Lord and loses his faith in material civilization, which begins with Varnashrama Dharma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks clearly of once becoming liberated from the Varnashrama Dharma, the most exalted system of human civilization. At such a time, one feels himself to be perpetually the servant of Lord Krishna, a position taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Naham vipranachanara patirna pivashina shudra, naham varnyanacha griha patir, novanustvoya tirvam, kintu pratyanikhila paramananda purnam ritadve, gopi bartov patakamaya dasa dasa dasa. From Padyavali 63. I am not a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or shudra. I am not a brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha or sannyasi. What am I? I am the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. Through the disciplic succession, one can attain this conclusion, which is perfect elevation to the transcendental platform. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas, Adi Guru Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vernon Purple, like it's so wonderful. And I read the translation again. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. It's very interesting. We will read the purport little by little. Say something from my experience. It's very interesting what is said here, that when a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord who bestows his causeless mercy. It looks like there is like how, there is a method, yeah, how to get that causeless mercy. Mercy is causeless, but it is said that when one is fully engaged, yeah, so when one is fully engaged, Lord bestows his causeless mercy. Yet we see that his mercy is causeless. So it's up to him to bestow this mercy or not to bestow. So it's achintya veda veda tatra at the same time. But at least some hint, yes, how to get his causeless mercy, to be fully engaged in devotional service. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. As you know, there are different levels of devotees. There are sakama bhaktas and there are akama bhaktas. Sakama bhaktas, we know kama, desire, yeah? So those who have material desires. And even such elevated living entities like demigods, usually they are all, usually, not all, but usually they are all sakama bhaktas. Even Lord Indra himself, yes, he is in charge of the heavenly planets. He's attached to his kingdom. He's attached to his opulence and whatever he has. Yeah, and because usually demigods and demons they fight, they have so many wars, like there are many wars between them. So when demons again attack the demigods, usually Indra, when he becomes afraid, he goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he prays for protection. As we know, a pure devotee doesn't pray for anything for himself. He prays only for service. That's all. Yeah. Yet, sakama devotees, sakama bhaktas, they are devotees. Just sakama devotees have some desires for themselves. So Indra goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he prays for protection, to protect him, his wealth, to win the battle with the demons. Yeah. And Krishna helps. Krishna always helps his devotees. But we should always know that there are Sakama Bhaktas and Akama Bhaktas. So Akama Bhakta, a devotee who lost all material desires, his only desire is to serve Krishna as Krishna wants him to serve. So if Krishna wants whatever Krishna wants, yeah, he doesn't pray for himself. So if Krishna wants to protect him, he protects him. If Krishna wants to kill him, he will kill him. A devotee, Akama devotee, he is genuinely, sincerely wants only this, nothing more than that. So this is the difference, Akama Bhaktas and Sakama Bhaktas. We will read about it more in the purport. So let's read the purport. In the previous verse, I read the previous verse yesterday. Despite the cultivation of Vedic knowledge, which is unlimited, and the worship of different demigods by the symptoms of Vedic mantras, demigod worship doesn't help one to understand the supreme powerful personality of Godhead. So in the previous verse, those who are in knowledge have been described as unable to appreciate the supreme personality of Godhead. Those who are in knowledge here, they are jnanis, should Prabhupada will later on say this in this purport. Similarly, this verse indicates that those who are followers of the Vedic rituals, as well as those who are followers of fruitive activities, are unable to see the supreme personality of Godhead. In these two verses, both the karmas and jnanis are described as unfit to understand him. As described by Srila Rupa Goswami, only when one is completely free from mental speculation and fruitive activity, anya vilashita shunyam, jnana, karma, anavrita, can one engage in pure devotional service without being polluted by material desires. As we just said, the different types of devotees, so devotees who still have some material desires, and also even not material desires, because jnanis usually they don't have material desires. Yet there is some selfish desire for personal liberation and no desire to serve the Lord. Yeah? So it's still not exactly akama bhakti. Yeah, it is called also karma mishra bhakti and jnana mishra bhakti. Mishra means mixed. So usually, as we know from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, there are four types of people who come to Krishna, who approach Krishna. Who remembers that?
A person in distress, person in need.
Somebody else?
Money.
Who?
Who needs money?
Yeah.
Person is inquisitive.
Okay, somebody else?
Person searching for knowledge.
Yes, so there are four types of people who come to Krishna. And we know that they all come for something. Yeah, so it's not pure devotion yet they are. These people are all devotees, yeah? And so here we see that Srila Prabhupada is describing karmas and jnanis in this purport. So we can see that karmas are those who come for money and in distress, yeah? Because they want something material, like relief from distress and material benefit. Yeah. And wise people, probably, they are frustrated so much with the material world, so they just want some relief. Yeah? What about inquisitive? I guess it's still some karma yoga, yes?
Yeah, some. They're all mixed.
I don't know.
We're all the same. It's usually not just one or the other. There's distress, there's inquisitiveness, there's looking for it.
Yeah, so here we see that when we come to Krishna, because we don't know, some already come as pure devotees. So usually when one comes to Krishna, his or her bhakti will be mixed either with material activities, desire of material result, or with desire for liberation. Yeah? Yet, such people are devotees because they go directly to Lord Krishna. They don't go to demigods, they don't go to some other authorities like of government of their country and so on. No, they go directly to Krishna. So these are devotees, but not pure devotees yet. So, Srila Prabhupada is saying here, he's quoting Srila Rupa Goswami, that only when one is completely free from mental speculation and fruitive activity, what we just described, can one engage in pure devotional service without being polluted by material desires. So from this we can understand that a Krishna consciousness is perfect practice, and one can engage even in pure devotional service from the beginning. And this is the science. we should inquire from a Bona Fide spiritual master how to do it, how it's possible. Otherwise, when we still desire some material result, or when we desire some liberation, our devotional service, we will render devotional service, yet it won't be pure devotional service. It will be devotional service. Yeah? Yet there is some ananya bhakti, unalloyed devotional service, which only attracts Krishna fully, like full his attention. The significant word Atma Bhavita indicates that the Lord is awakened in one's mind, even constantly thinks of him. This is the science. Yes. This is the science. Just everything is here. How to be with Krishna, always think of him. As we mentioned also last week, that the most important rule of devotional service, it's not for what we are called rules and regulations, because usually when we say about rules and regulations, immediately what comes to one's mind, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. No. Rules, regulations for devotional service are shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, vandanam, and so on. So, nine methods of devotional service. And the most important rule is to always remember Krishna and to never forget him. So, the significant word Atma Bhavitaka indicates that the Lord is awakened in one's mind if one constantly thinks of him. A pure devotee is always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. So we can see also last week we read in Miracle on Second Avenue how a woman, a lady, she approached Srila Prabhupada and she asked, like, how can I remember Krishna? Something. He said, oh, it's nature you will remember about him. So we see that a pure devotee, it's like natural. Actually, it's natural for everyone because we are all souls are devotees originally. This is our original position. But now when by our choice, it's our choice to be not devotees yet. So it's still there. So it looks that it's not natural, but it's natural. For a pure soul, it's natural to think of Krishna. So actually, everyone can think about Krishna. I just also recently listened to a lecture by Niranjan Swami, and a devotee asked him, "What is your favorite method of remembering Krishna? How do you remember Krishna?" Like I said, "Oh, my best, like what I like the most is to talk about Krishna. When you talk about Krishna, you always remember Krishna. And the best method also like to remember when you talk to people who are interested, because when reciprocation takes place, this is," he said, "the best thing to tell about Krishna to others." And like who are eager to hear about Krishna. In this way, you can always remember Krishna. So we can, while we are not on that platform of a pure devotee who naturally remembers Krishna 24 hours, 7 days a week, we can do whatever helps us to remember Krishna. Usually, it really like when we talk about Krishna, yeah, when we read about Krishna, whatever. Yeah, we should think what helps us to remember Krishna. For some, it can be puja. Yes, sometimes we do puja, we look at the deities, we think about Krishna. For some people, they like to read books. Some people, they like to see Krishna conscious movie. Yeah, or go for Harina. Or see some dance, because some original like Indian dances, it's just Krishna lila or Govinda lila. So whatever helps us to remember Krishna, that's...
I remember when Narayana Swami first started going to Russia in the 80s, and he come back and talk about it, and say you go to do a program at somebody's house, and it just goes on and on for hours. The people just after kirtan goes on, and then after kirtan, people just have question after question for like 3 or 4 hours. And I remember he really liked that.
Because it was his favorite method to remember Krishna. Mm-hmm. He also in that lecture, it was lecture from 1990, a devotee, like it was in Russia, lecture in Russia, a devotee asked how do Harinama take place in other countries? And he spoke about Boston, how it was in 1990. He said that at that time GBC they made a resolution, because some temples they forgot about Harinama, so at least once a week that every temple should go for Harinam. Right. And he said that at that time in Boston, it usually would happen on Saturday night. And he said at that time, temple would become just empty. Like everyone, almost everyone, they would join the Harina. Yeah. And he said that devotees would go to Harvard Square. So it was already here, but at that time in 19, devotees, they would go to Harvard Square. And he said, after the Harina, everybody would come back so blissful. And they were already expecting next Saturday. So it's like just interesting. And he told about also other places he visited, about Netherlands and Belgium. He just came from there, so he was. Yeah. So let's read the paper. We have 10 more minutes. A pure devotee cannot remain a moment without being absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also how we can, like, because all these descriptions of pure devotees, like, on different levels, that we can always see, like, test ourselves where we are. So we can always see, like, if our remembering of the Lord is increasing, that's a good sign. This constant thinking of the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita as satata yuktanam, always engaging in the Lord's service, bhajatam priti purvakam. This is devotional service in love and affection. When we talk about Krishna, also I remember, it's just from the same lecture I just listened, and it's from Srila Prabhupada purport, that Srila Prabhupada is explaining that such talking about Krishna is actually expression of our love to others. Because our love to others, real love, not sentimental love, is to give others Krishna in the form of Krishna consciousness. So when first comes the realization of our relationship with Krishna, so when we realize who we are, that we are not, as at the end of the report, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is saying, I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. I'm not a Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. What am I? I'm the eternal servant, or the servant, or the servant of Lord Krishna. So when one realizes this position, so to love others, first we should come to understand our real position, our relationship with Krishna. When we understand our relationship with Krishna, when we understand our relationship to all other living entities, because this is the position of all other living entities. So we are all servants of Krishna. And when we understand that the highest welfare for humanity and the expression of love is this Harinama Sankirtana Yaga, when we tell others about Krishna, when we tell others about Krishna, so this is the expression of love, not anything else. It can be expressed in different ways, but even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are considered material activities, because by such activities one is simply elevated to other planetary systems, the residential abodes of the demigods. It's very important. It's very important to understand, because sometimes also especially as I said, usually when we come to devotional service, we come from different backgrounds. And I remember myself, I loved especially yagyas, like when there is fire, sacrifice, and like a pujari sitting and chanting these mantras and blah, 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 blah. I like it so much. I mean, I didn't know. It's very nice when you like, but not become too attached, because I just like the process, you know, like how they do yagya, how they put something, some mantras in there. Fire. So these ritualistic activities, as they say, that Vedas, they are written in such a language that one can become bewildered, because they promise so much. If you want this, you just do this, you will get that, you will get that, you will get that. And so mostly like the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, they are ceremonies, they are meant for something. And so the ultimate goal of the Vedas, yes, is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we take directly this ritualistic ceremony, sometimes it can be like he will be pleased indirectly, yeah? So we can lose the goal. So we shouldn't lose our goal when we do that. Because mostly in ISKCON temples, when such yagyas are done, they are also done to attract people in general to Krishna consciousness. Because mostly on such yagyas come some people who are not devotees yet, but like maybe they're Hindus, like their background or something else, like they just heard about, or some Indian yagyas. So they can come to the temple, get darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and get association of the devotees of the Lord. Because in this way, one becomes attracted to Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't forget about the goal. So even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are considered material activities, because by such activities one is simply elevated to other planetary systems, the residential abodes of the demigods. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, Vitrin, Yanti Putri Vrata, Bhutani, Yanti Bhutajya, Yanti Madhya Jano Pima. Those who worship the demigods will take birth from all the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth from all such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. It's also some tendency, like we see now many devotees, they have Lord Shiva on their altar, or like Mother Durga Devi sometimes. It's very nice because they are all pure devotees. Yet sometimes we may forget about it and to come just to touch. And then Srila Prabhupada is saying, that's great, just go to the abode of demigods. Yes, so this should be one-pointed. It's better to be like one-pointed. The word Atma Bhavitaha also indicates that the devotee is always engaged in preaching to deliver conditioned souls. It is said that the six Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuna, Sadharma Samstapaka, Lokanam Hitakarana. Oh, just a little bit more on that, the same point about the demigods. I just speak from my experience. With you, it could be different. Because I know there are different beautiful mantras which are very popular, like about Lord Shiva, like. I love it so much. It's like Lord Shiva mantra. But there are many of them. I forgot the name of this popular singer. Something, Deva Premal. Deva Premal. She's very popular. I mean, maybe you don't know. Just she's very popular. So at least like in Russia among young generation, like I'm not young generation. So she's popular. And so sometimes we listen, we don't think it's like demigod worship. But we should also understand with, because different mantras, they are not just sung. It could be like a popular singer, but she has some devotion. Yeah. So, I mean, like, this should just be one-pointed. If we chose Krishna consciousness, we want Krishna, we should just take our life and dedicate it to Lord Krishna, not to go to different places. They can be very attractive. These places of demigods are very attractive. Like, I've been to India, I visited some of them. They are all holy places. Like, holy place of Lord Shiva, of Mother Durga, you come, you feel it, yeah? But it's better go to my personal experience to Mayapur, Jagannath Puri and Vrindavan, not to forget about Krishna. Because we can die any moment.
The only time, the only time Prabhupada talks Bhaktiri and demigod worship in a favorable way is like when the gopis worship Goddess Katyayani to get Krishna.
Yes.
And I mean, you can pray to any demigod, Lord Shiva, any demigod, as long as the purpose is to be a better devotee for Krishna.
Yeah. The point is, you want only Krishna.
Right.
The point is, what I was making, that now like it's the tendency that sometimes one may start, but then one becomes attracted to that personality too.
Yeah.
Because these personalities are very powerful. The demigods are very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful. Yeah. So the point, gopis, they just cared for Krishna. That's what their only concern. They heard that Yogamaya can fulfill their desire. So they went to Yogamaya.
Right.
That's it. If there would be some other deities they would heard could fulfill this their desire, they would go there.
Yeah.
So in this way, just the point.
Yeah.
And the word Atma Bhavitaha also indicates that the devotee is always engaged in preaching to deliver conditioned souls. It is said. So we can see that a devotee is always engaged in preaching. Preaching can be different, yeah. It can be book distribution, harinam, it can be giving lectures, it can be preaching in the universities, it can be preaching to our families, to our friends, by prasadam, by just our life, whatever. It can be deity worship. Just whatever. Yeah, preaching is different, but a devotee is preaching. That's the point, yeah? So the word Atma Bhavitaha also indicates that a devotee is always engaged in preaching to deliver conditioned souls. Because devotee realized his relationship with Krishna, as we just said here. And so natural compassion, natural love for others comes when love for Krishna, when we realize our relationship with Krishna. So a devotee naturally wants to preach to others about Krishna, that they also will get that good fortune he got. It is said that the six Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunasa Dharma Samstapaka, Lakanam Hitakarina. A pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking of how fallen, conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by the merciful devotee's attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. So we can see how it works. Krishna, he is inspired by his compassionate devotees. He is inspired to give his causeless mercy. And his inspiration are his devotees. So devotees, the inspiration for the Lord. If a devotee is blessed by another devotee, he becomes free from karma kanda and jnana kanda activities. So here we see it is said about a devotee who is still sakama devotee, who still has some material desires, either karma mishra or jnana, the mixture of jnana or with karma. So by the mercy, when he is blessed by another devotee, by pure devotee, he becomes free from karma kanda and jnana kanda activities. As conferred in Brahma Samhita, Videsha Durlabha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be realized through Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. A Durlabham Atma Bhakta, the Lord is realized only by sincere devotee. We should never forget that. We should never forget that only by pure devotion, Lord can be realized. This material world. Okay, it's 9:00. Whoever wants to go, please. Really. I will just a little bit continue the purport. So it's 9:00. I mean, if somebody wants to go, I don't know. Yeah. This material world, the cosmic manifestation, is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the living entities have come here to enjoy themselves. So we should also never forget why we came here, to enjoy ourselves. Because there are so many times we think, we are bewildered about this point. Yeah. Because we don't want to think that we are bad, yes, we are always good. Yeah. If we are here, it's for some good purpose.
Yeah.
We are here to enjoy ourselves. The Vedic instructions, we'll finish the paragraph, and if you like, if you are doing lecture tomorrow, if you continue to read the purport,
yeah.
Because it's amazing.
Yeah, probably.
The Vedic instructions guide them according to different regulative principles. And intelligent people take advantage of these instructions. They thus enjoy material life without being disturbed. they thus enjoy material life without being disturbed. This is actually illusion. And to get out of this illusion by one's own endeavor is very difficult. So this is a very important point, yes? When one is guided by Vedic instruction, when he is guided according to different regulative principles to the result of his desires, yeah? Material desires. When, because he is a devotee, he enjoys material life without being disturbed. But this is an illusion. So Prabhupada said, this is an illusion. One who thinks, that it's possible to enjoy in this material world, that material enjoyment is possible, he's a fool. He's an illusion. It's an illusion. And to get out of this illusion by one's own endeavor is very difficult. The general populace is engaged in material activities, and when people are a little advanced, they become attracted by the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. This we also know, because usually people, they just live their life and enjoy, and when they get like a little bit more money or prestige or position in the society, like higher birth here, when they become interested in such things as charitable work, you know, something like that, and some other sacrifices. But mostly this is the most popular in the modern society. Yeah? Also austerity. Yeah. So the more people like not advanced, I mean like material, like those who are not workers, just doctors, they wake up earlier, like with a purpose, not just to go to work. Maybe they go and do some sport or even pray to Lord. Yeah, they can go to church or just read some. So they become interested in ritualistic performance ceremonies. He again comes. However, when one is frustrated in the performance of these ritualistic ceremonies, he again comes to material activities. Why is one frustrated? Because material result cannot bring happiness, real happiness. So one day, one will become frustrated anyway. One can become satisfied only by awakening one's Krishna consciousness. That's why one can never be satisfied in the material world by material result, and one will always come to frustration. In this way, both the followers of the Vedic rituals and the followers of material activities are entangled in conditioned life. These people gather seed of devotional service only by the goodwill of the Guru and Krishna. So it happens only by the desire of Guru and Krishna. By mercy of bhakti comes from bhakti. These people get a seed. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Guru Krishna Prasada by Bhakti Lata Krishna. Okay, so I will stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So if you would like to continue from the, this, it's like this paragraph.
Yes.